We're live.
We are live indeed. We are most certainly alive. Good evening, everyone. It's fantastic to see you all from all over the globe. We know that you're watching with keen interest because my very special guest is none other than Arkies74. Welcome to the show, Arkies.
Thank you.
It's great to see you, and it's fantastic to have you on board, and I know we've got many of your subs and followers today who will be ready to ask questions, and we'll start with that in a little while. As it's been about 2 or 3 years since we last spoke and did an interview, you've gone well over 1,000 subs. You're now on to nearly 1,300 subs, your channel has grown. You're now you're an A-plus driver among your successes there. You've had an amazing couple of years. So what's been the highlights?
The highlights, where should I start? Let me start to say hello to the names I can see. Hey, Simon and Dead Dave and Damo. And we've got Chris in as well. Chris, who gets me driving when we've got group three challenges on in the time trials. I go in the Corvette in honor of Chris and fellow Americans on my US account, see if I can set a time in the Corvette. Let's just start with the A-plus thing, because I would be perfectly honest. It's mostly, let's just call it a fake A-plus. And you have to, in a sense that I have got to A-plus on both my EMEA accounts in very specific races. Group 4, with a bit of fuel saving and very low tire wear. That's good for the controller. Yes. So I managed to get one of my accounts up to A+, and then I thought, well, I'm just going to jump over to the other account. So I always just try to race the EMEA account with the lowest rating. And then we got another group 4 race with a bit of fuel saving and no low tire wear. So then I bumped that one up to A+ as well. Both of them in the Audi TT, so very specific A-plus driver. And then I just realized, well, I have to tank one of those because I cannot wait and not race anymore. So I just had to throw one of those accounts under the bus. So now I have one A-plus account, and it's only A-plus because I only use it for doing time trials and race A. And then I've got my other EMEA account, which is... what is it? It's maybe like 45,000 driver rating, like high A, and that goes up and down a bit because I risk it a bit more. And then I have my US account, which is currently low A, because that one I don't give a damn about. I use that when I want to check out a race. Nothing against American drivers. I actually really enjoy driving there. It's just the one with the very lowest rating, and then I can experiment with that one, jump in a race, start from the back, see what's happening, get a bit of practice, and then I slowly move over to the EMEA servers and see if I can still keep up. It's a bit more tough competition there, and people are a bit more pushy and all that stuff.
So that was
the A-plus thing. I see it as not really A+. It's a bit of a fake A+. I gained it myself. I didn't hire my son to do it or anything, but
that's brilliant.
But it's not one I can maintain by doing all sorts of different races. It's very specific.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a fantastic achievement, because I've managed once and briefly to get into A, but it was that's when I had my kind of break from playing a lot of Gran Turismo. And so when I came back to kind of GT7 properly, the whole race dynamics was very different. And of course, I wasn't, you know, when you have a lack of practice as well, or race experience, it's very easy to get caught out, or if your qualifying is not good enough, and then you get caught up in a lot of accidents. So it wasn't long before my rating was back down to B. At one point, I was a kind of low B. Now I'm kind of about 3/4 of the way through. So just to be able to get up to A and then get to A+, is a fantastic achievement. Because that is the top rung, really, isn't it? Of A+, you know, it takes a lot of planning, a lot of work, and a lot of races to be able to do that. You must have done a good few hundred, if not well into the high hundreds.
I have not really been counting, but I can see. And let me just, I'm just lurking at the chat and saying hello to a few people. We've got Sausage in as well, and we've got Harry
is that
in.
World record
and,
holder.
Yeah,
I'm R4M Sausages is a world record holder, isn't it? Yeah, that's the. Well, that's exactly. Quite a thing.
And you can see Dead Dave is saying he just kept his A plus since GT Sport and never touched it since. Yeah, only doing race A. Exactly. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So do you think there is definitely it's a good strategy just to stick to particular races that you think that's your strongest point?
Yeah. If your goal is to become A plus, I suppose it is, but I think my goal is mostly to have fun, and the only reason that I've left that account alone is because I think it's more fun to just constantly try to work on the lowest rated account. And I've promised myself I cannot be too scared to race. Yeah. And that's also the thing if I have to try to keep up with the, especially in race C, I have to be on it from the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And I can just see, and I don't really have the time for it. And I can see whenever I jump on, when I sometimes got some extra time for it, I can see some of the same people, and they are there all the time. As people are really putting some hours in when you're getting up to the high A, low A plus, and upwards.
Yeah.
And I can just see, I really have to work on this. And the weeks I've been building my driver rating, I've really given it a good effort, and I cannot really always do that. But I don't want to be scared to race, and that's when I just jump onto the US servers so I can say I at least tried a race to see if I could do it.
And just
jumping in, do a race from the back, just to make sure don't crash into anyone. Slowly start to work on a qualifying time, but because you can also just work on a qualifying time all week and feel like I'm not really ready yet. I would like to get just ahead of this driver on my friend's list and this one.
Yeah.
Now I think I'm ready, and then you're starting in P4 on the grid and just get swallowed completely because you have zero experience in actually doing that race. Mm-hmm. And that's a classic. And we've got Luca Savicic in the chat. Hey, Luca, good to see you. And Martin as well. Good to see you guys.
Yeah. And of course, Luca is a fellow musician like yourself.
Luca is multi-talented. A musician. A very fast fellow musician on a racetrack.
Yes. Well, I'm a
guitar and piano as well. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a drummer. I'm getting back into drums. And I used to play piano when I was younger, so I know we were. I know that Luca had thought about having a little kind of team of a band of GT7 players there. So maybe now will be a better chance we could do something in the near future. But one of the big things that and Dead Dave has just mentioned it there in his comment is, of course, you do everything from a controller. There's no steering wheel or pedals. And that is a real tough thing to do because, as you say, tire wear is much harder if you don't have a wheel.
Wear is a bugger, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially this week, race C. Goodness, at the Nürburgring. Have you tried that one?
I haven't tried that one because also the fact that the servers have been acting up completely. It completely turned me off just sitting, tuning in to one live stream after another and just looking at the streamer, looking at that desktop wallpaper of death, that frozen loading screen. And I thought, I cannot be bothered. I've just do something else instead. I'm having so much fun working on those time trials.
Yeah.
I really like that when they just give you a specific car, this is your car, this is your track. Make the most out of it. I really find that interesting and fun to do.
Yeah, because you've set a blistering time on the Nuremberg time trial, the Nordschleifer. It was like a 7:56. I mean, you're like 5 seconds quicker than me. I think the guy did a 7:50.5 or something, and I thought that was just about enough scraping it through into gold. And then I looked at yours and I thought, my goodness me, because you know you try and compare your sector time, think, oh, where's he getting that speed from? That is a great time. How did you find the Nordschleifer?
I found it at, I'm just reading, Lucas mentioning we did a musical collaboration in the past. Yeah, we did one. We recorded one of the original, was it the Gran Turismo 3 songs, if I remember correctly?
Yeah,
what did I do with that? Yeah, you're right. There's a Citroen CX brake behind me. There it is.
Oh, the CX. What a classic. And then I saw one of those in not too far away from me a few weeks ago. Quite a rare machine now. It was kind of haunched down on its suspension. Yeah. And I just thought that's going to be a big fix to get that going again. But
basically just have to start it up, then it will probably
It will work. But going back, to the Nordschleife.
Back to Nordschleife. Yeah, I think I got the time I got for that video short run through, I had a 746.5.
Yeah.
And that's still quite a bit to go to the really fast drivers. But when I went back in and I spent an entire evening, and my wife probably thinks I'm crazy. But I found out, first of all, I was using a higher gear out of some corners where I didn't do that. And I found out that I really had to be careful. Mm-hmm. I have a really itchy throttle index finger. And sometimes even though I have got the car stopped and turned into the corner, then I just do these pointless stabs at the throttle, which instantly pushes me off the line. And then I have to recover the line, and that gives me a slower exit out of the corner. And it's just pure impatience. So, and that's the thing, you can sometimes forget. There's the general thing in Gran Turismo 7 with really low gear into the corner and then a high gear out of the corner. That seems to be a general thing. Sometimes two gears higher than you're coming into the corner with.
Yeah.
But even though you're upshifting to that higher gear, still remember it's a front-wheel drive car. And if you are too eager on the throttle, you can upshift to the higher gear coming around the corner. But if you're on it, it will still understeer. And I found out that I really had to be careful with that subtle wheel spin.
Yeah.
Because when you're exiting third gear, it's not like it's really spinning its tires, but you can hear this almost like you have a worn-out clutch.
So the
revs are running a bit away from the car, and I can only speak from controller, and the haptic triggers on the PS5 controller. You can just feel that slight vibration on the throttle, and if you're like skipping that last millimeter or so, pushing it full in, you can minimize some of that wheel spin. And I could just see it on the Ghost suddenly. Hey, it's not running away from me as much as it did before. So it was something like that. And then I just ironed out some rather big mistakes on my original run. And there's so much time to gain if you mess up one corner leading onto an uphill straight for 30 seconds, you can lose so much time. So I think it was something like that. We've got Woody Boy in as well.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, good to see you. It's all familiar names. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fantastic. I'm going to say to see everybody in the chat here. And if you get your questions ready, we'll soon start asking Arky's questions from the chat. In fact, I think it's definitely time for the first question from the chat to come forward. So who is brave enough to ask Arkies a question from the chat? Who will it be? And what would the question be that you're desperate to ask Arkies? They're still confirming that they're there. We've gone over how you've managed to get to A+ and how you do everything on the controller. Here we are. Heavy technical analysis, I like it. Just keep going slower.
What is the capital of Nicaragua? Liverpool? No, I don't know.
This is a very prepared audience, as you can tell.
Heavy technical analysis, I like it.
Yeah, now that's the thing.
Just keep going slower until you stop crashing. Well, my way of seeing Nordschleife, it's 20 kilometers of nearly crashing. That's what it feels like. It's 20 kilometers of going, oh, shit, something like that.
Now, that's the thing. We have a question. We have a question from Martin Ulton. I think that's how you pronounce it. Arkis, when is your next live stream, creating new songs or just playing piano? The last one was so nice.
Yeah. I don't know, Martin. I'm pretty certain it's not going to be on this side of Christmas, because the next couple of months is just, I've got so much work to do. But I think once we get on the other, once we get into 2024, I think there should be a better chance to do it. But I cannot really, yeah, I would love to do it. It was good fun. And I've just noticed I'm wearing the same shirt as I did on that live stream. I do have other clothes than that one. So I would definitely like to do one of those. It's also fun to do. I did some of the music I'm putting in my videos, I actually did on a live stream, my background music. And it's somewhere to find on my channel.
Because it's good music. That is the thing. Because when you always have a great intro, but you'll see the car coming around the corner and you'll come in towards you, and then you've got that kind of tune. It sounds like Gran Turismo music.
Yeah,
but it's a real kind of fever of it. You know, a good flavor of Gran Turismo kind of history to it.
Questions. Yeah.
And then you come in with your introduction. Now here we are. Jerry has asked, Arkis, what triggered your interest in motorsport stroke sim racing?
That's the thing. I have always more been a car enthusiast than a motorsports enthusiast. To be honest, I didn't know the word racecraft until I started watching videos on YouTube. After I can actually sneak in an answer to Dave's question about when did I start and pause and start. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing Gran Turismo. When I restarted playing Gran Turismo, that was Gran Turismo Sport in 2017. I played Gran Turismo 1-4. Then I had a break having kids and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was always really been a car guy, and I've loved to watch cars in movies and car chases, like the Bullet car chase and
Ronin. You like the Ronin car chase?
Yeah, Ronin car chase. That's a good one as well. And so I have to admit, I mostly in the first series, I spent most time, because it was only single player, sideswiping the AI cars to win races. And then I spent so many hours using my favorite car in Gran Turismo 4, the Volvo 240 Estate. I had red one. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bone stock Volvo 240 Estate. That was in Gran Turismo 4. I had so much fun with that car, driving around that Seattle track with all the jumps.
Oh, yeah.
And when I started to modify it, maybe I should put another exhaust and maybe a rear differential. And then it started to handle like a sporty car. And wait a minute, we cannot have that. Then I just got rid of that, bought another stock one. And it just was so fun throwing that car around with its soft suspension and no rear diff. So it was just spinning the inside tire around the corners and making a lot of smoke. And just sitting watching replays of myself throwing that Estate car sideways around the tracks. That was really so the whole thing about and that's also why race A me most on GT Sport, because that was usually road car races, and it was just that was just my original Gran Turismo experience.
Yeah.
And then I've slowly moved into the race cars, so I'm not following Formula One. Shoot me if you want to, but I'm not really. I found a rally rather interesting when I was a kid. It was fun to watch, but it's not easy to find any motorsport on Danish television, not the regular channels. Then you have to go for the proper Eurosport and all those other to see, and it's mostly football there anyway. So
No, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's because rallying used to be huge, especially in Britain. We still have the kind of the Rally of Great Britain, but it's down in Wales now. It used to be up here in Kildare Forest. We used to go and see it when it was Colin McRae and Richard Burns, and back in the 90s, we'd go and watch it, and it was great fun. But yeah, it's interesting though, because I think GG Sport has tried to bring in so many different cars. You know, it's got rally cars, it's got some of the classics like the Audi Quattro, the Peugeot 205 is quite a nice rally car as well to drive on some of the dirt tracks that they've done. But yeah, it's kind of there's a few different cars on there. But I know what you mean. It's also nice just to be able to drive the kind of regular stock cars. It's like they had the old Fiat 500. What else did they have? They've got the Alfa 155 touring car. I'm trying to think. They've had a few other little. In the earlier games, they had the early Fiat 500, I think, which was incredibly slow. I think old horsepower. And we used to race that around the Nürburgring, the Nordschleifer, and you'd get like two laps. It'd take you about 2 hours, you know, to get.
I bet it would struggle to get up the long hill, the back straight, hill leading up to the corners just before the carousel.
I think I'm sure in one of the games we used to play, was it not like a tuk-tuk? It was similar to a kind of tuk-tuk type vehicle, and you could. It was like the slowest car on Gran Turismo.
We had that what's it called, the very first car, basically that the Daimler-Benz car, the one where you're basically, it's like you're steering it with a handle like this, sitting like on and that was really, really, really slow. And I'm just looking at questions.
There's a good one there.
Is there any GT live streams Archie's isn't moderator for? Hugh Hattrick's live stream, I'm not a moderator for. And Lucas Savicic, I'm not a moderator for. And Bob's your uncle, I'm not a moderator. And I can come up with a few more.
That's pretty good.
And what's triggered my, the sim racing... The online thing, I remember it was really like one of those mind-blowing experiences, suddenly racing real people. They were definitely faster, even though when you start doing it the first time, you are D-rated. But still, people were so much faster than the AI, and I really had to keep up. And I remember one of my first really good experiences that was actually on Brands Hatch, and I think it was a group 4 race, and we were not even battling for the win. I think we were battling third and fourth place, me and another Danish driver. I didn't even know him, but we had such a nice race, and I had him behind me. I held him behind me for like 3-4 laps around Brands Hatch without crashing, and we were both just typing each other afterwards. Whoa, sweaty hands, that one. And that was one of those, a clean battle. And it wasn't about winning. It was just about that battle. And we both had a blast. And that triggered that feeling of, wow, this is something.
because that's it. Because multiplayer, the first time you do it, it's always quite exciting. It is actually quite nerve-wracking when you first do it, you know, and especially if you're midfield or something like that, or you're, you know, they put you in a random spot and you've got to have a go. And that's the great thing about GT7 is it is, and GT Sport before it. It was just good fun. It was great fun to be able to have a go and see how you get on and learn the lines, learn how the cars drive and how you race well with people. And then obviously try and go up the lobbies. Of course, when you first start out, isn't it, when you're like an B driver or something, it's great fun because you get some astonishingly bad races where you can have, you know, you're literally just see cars spinning off all over the place and you're trying not to get collected.
And you're not used to the AI suddenly sideswiping you just because you're trying to pass them. Then there's actually some angry kids on the other end of those cars you're racing.
I think you've offended half of Spain when you do these races, isn't it? Or the Italians. You always see a number of them that are kind of ramming, and then, you know, you'll get caught up with somebody trying to ram somebody else off the road. So it is quite fun. But we've got a good question. Another one from Woody Boy says, would you ever consider playing the new WRC game, which is out at the end of the month?
Yeah, maybe. And I can see Dead Dave got the right name for that old car. We were the slowest car. Patent motor wagon.
Oh yeah. Yes, yeah, Pan
that
Watson
one. Yeah. But yeah, back to the WRC. That all depends on how it's going to feel on the controller. Mm-hmm. I played a bit of what was that called? The Dirt Rally, Dirt 2.0. Was that the name?
Oh
of
yeah.
It?
Yeah. I think I've got that. I think.
And it's. It was fun, but also really, I'd never really got to race any of the fast rally cars. I was racing that Lancia Fulvia front wheel drive classic.
Oh, yeah.
And that felt okay. And then I tried a bit of a rear wheel drive Ford Escort, the classic one with the dog bone like grill. And I couldn't, I couldn't manage to get that car around. It was spinning all the time. And then I just, then I lost interest, and then I had to leave some space on my old PS4, so I had to remove that game, and I never got back to it. So if it could feel decent on a controller, I might give it a go. Yeah. And that leads me to, I remember seeing another question from Dublin Dave or someone, and hello to you, Dublin Dave. We've got a lot of Daves in chat, and SDS as well. Yeah, I'm just lurking. Whether I would go on to a wheel, and that's the always coming back to me that question, and it all down to having space for it. If I at some point could find a tiny corner in my house where I could fit a wheel stand, then it would most certainly be possible. But it's not possible at the moment. I've got a both kids are still here, and they are getting bigger and bigger. No, the oldest one is not getting any bigger, but the youngest one is. And I cannot really put it anywhere. And we've got Henry in as well.
Yes,
you, Henry.
Oh, it's quite funny, isn't it? Trying to get time. It's you have to use it in one of your son's rooms. Say that I've got your new sim rig. But you can only use it at certain times, you know.
Something like just put it in there. Yeah, because I'm racing in the living room, which is basically in the middle of the house, and that's also why I'm really not live streaming that much, and especially for the last over 6 months, it has been especially tricky for me because I need the house to myself. I cannot sit there live streaming and screaming at the screen and the chat, and then have my family around me. That's just too intimidating for me and for them as well.
Yeah, you need a soundproof door and a place where they don't hear you. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Henry has said, "I've arrived to deliver timely Ryanair jokes."
Yes. We need them. got an ongoing Ryanair thing going. Well, mostly Henry putting petrol on that.
Are you telling me that Ryanair isn't that great? I've had a few Ryanair flights, and they've normally been on time, but they are an interesting experience. They certainly cram you in and then kind of sweat you out, but they get you there on time.
I've had one Ryanair flight, and I didn't pay for that. It was a family trip. And my parents paid for it, and I cannot really complain about it. But that was a Ryanair flight, and I remember we only had our oldest child, and she was toddler age, and they just kept us strapped in the entire flight, not for any reason other than they wanted to sell us lottery tickets and all sorts of crap. So that just had that the fasten seatbelt sign was on for the almost the entire 3-hour flight to Spain.
Oh,
and
and the lottery tickets are not worth a thing. Aye, it's kind of crazy. We've just an amateur Gran Turismo driver join us as well.
Good to see you as well.
It's fantastic to see everybody. Now, here's a good question from Dead Dave. Arkis, what Citroen will you get next, and why Citroen?
Yes, what Citroen will I get next? Well, if we're talking about newer cars, probably not a Citroen. Because I think they've lost the plot. I'm not really into it. This is going to be a long answer. I basically hate the corporation that's behind Citroen and Persio and Opel as well now, and Fiat,
yeah,
I think.
And Fiat, yeah, Fiat
is group, it's called.
Yeah.
But when, and now it gets really nerdy, when Citroën turned 75, I think, because they also launched that the DS, the new DS brand as a separate brand.
Yeah.
And to do marketing for that separate brand, they needed the original DS model, which is a Citroën.
Yeah.
But they just wiped that model off the history of Citroën. So they made big posters. Citroën, 75 years old, no sign of the DS.
Yes, yeah.
Because we need that to, it's a part of the Citroën history. And that was just marketing people going full marketing mode. And the entire enthusiast base went nuts. So they basically pushed away, not only because of that, but because of other things. They pushed away the people who loved Citroën for what it was, and they will never get new people in because they will never love a Citroën if anyone paid them to do it. So trying to reel in buyers who usually buy German cars, forget about it. So I think they're digging their own grave, and they're digging their own grave fast. So I'm probably out of that one. But if we are talking about older Citroëns, I don't really know. I'm just trying to keep that Santi alive as long as possible, because the one coming after that's the C5, and it looks like a whale, especially when you need an estate car, and suddenly it's all electronically controlled suspension and first generation computer controlled everything.
Yeah.
And and these cars are getting old as well, so
it's a brave choice, so
to be honest, I don't know what to buy when that car goes. I don't know where to go, so that's the short answer.
It's an interesting one, because I mean I love old cars, I love barn finds, I love classics, you know, in terms of, well, they're classics now, but they weren't in the 90s and the early 2000s. But it is, I know what you mean, that it's kind of, I love design though, I think, especially if it's a newer car, if it's got a really good design. And I have to say, I quite like the new DS4, I really like, especially in grey. It looks great if you get a nice model, performance line. I quite like the look of that. But I know it's not got quite the same character of an old Citroën, because basically it's a Peugeot and a Fiat and a Vauxhall and everything else underneath.
Mm.
But it's still, I think that's still the original PSA group kind of character though, to some degree. It's they've all had to kind of water themselves down a bit, but they do have some nice designs, and I like the DS7. You know, the kind of off-roader type thing, the kind of the SUV.
Oh yeah, the boxy one. Yeah,
yeah, and they're actually quite good value overall. I think they're quite a reasonable.
Yeah,
we had a spin of Picasso for a long time. Well, a C4 Citroën Grand Picasso.
Yeah,
one of the new ones, and that was a great car.
Yeah, we've got one of those as well. That's a lovely car too. That's.
Now, here's a good one. Woody Boy has said, fancy naming a car after an explosive, the C5.
The C4.
That's really well recognized. I'm surprised that Top Gear hadn't recognized that one. But the C5s, did they explode? It was more like Alphas that used to explode. And you know, if you had a 156 or something like that, you'd see it at the side of the motorway on fire, with the person standing aside in tears. But no, it's Citroën C5. And it's still going now, where they've got a new C5 and a C5X.
They've got the C5X. I did a small video of one of those.
That's right. Yeah.
That was actually, I have to admit, that was a nice car. It really comfortable and all that. But still, it's not the, I don't know. Maybe I'll buy a Volvo or something now.
Now, something that's more typical of Citroën and people who like Citroëns, the DS9. Big Citroën saloon.
Oh yeah,
it's nice. It's that, and they're quite cheap. They lose a lot of money secondhand. You know, they lose a fair bit of money in their first.
I don't even think they're coming to Denmark. They are mostly made for the Chinese market, I think.
We've got them here. We've got a few in Britain. But they're. It's actually quite a nice car. I think it's based on the Peugeot 508 platform, where it shares bits of.
Yeah, bags. I believe it is. We are having some good questions here. I'm just having a look. What do your family really think of your videos? I have no idea. I know that, that's the thing, because you, you, I, I basically felt like a big child when I started doing these videos. And now they all know that I do it. So, but I just started getting the videos out of the PlayStation and then onto my my very handy, it's an iPad. I'm doing everything on this.
That's brilliant, though. It's brilliant that you can.
So doing the videos, and when I had to, and that's also why all my almost for the first year I didn't do live commentary. I did the subtitle thing because then I could do videos in all silence and just sit in the corner fiddling around with my iPad, and nobody would know what I was doing. So that was why I didn't speak for a year or so. And then I started to, doing the commentary, and then it just felt weird to, that I did a bit of both, but it felt weird to keep on doing those subtitle things. I felt, it didn't work out. And then I started to go into my car, like a Doubtinator. He's doing all his commentary in his car as well. And he has a Citroen as well. That's the part. But, but now it's out in the open now. Now I can say to my wife, I'm going into this room and I'm doing a bit of commentary. I'll be out in an hour. And I think actually my wife has subbed to my channel. I don't think she has watched a single video, to be honest, but I think she did it just to do it. But now that I got past the 1,000 subscriber mark, which was just around New Year, leading into this year, she was like, What are you on about?
Need convincing with the bucks.
But then I went, and then I got monetized, and then she thought, okay, she could acknowledge that. Okay, that sounds like some sort of achievement. But but this is just my fun place. It's not really. Both Damo and Dave liked the subtitles. I can see it had a unique thing. Now I'm just one of the big bunch of people doing live commentary on videos. But actually, it was starting to take longer for me to do the subtitle thing than doing live commentary. The first time I did a live commentary, it felt so awkward, and I did that. And English not being my native language, took some time to get up to speed. I spent most of my time saying and the car had done half a lap while I was saying what's the word for it. That didn't work.
I get most of my words backwards. Whenever I'm doing a video commentary, I think I'm going to have to just hold my breath and start again and have it all ready and prepared. Because I think I sound like Murray Walker with getting things back to front. It's like the race start or the race stop or the stopwatch or the start watch. I'm doing all sorts of silly things. And when I play it back, I think, oh, I've gone and put that up on YouTube. But I'm still kind of learning my way around the editing software and all of that, because you were saying that you do all your editing on your iPad for your videos. That's quite different. So do you upload from the PS5 and then have to then kind of use your iPad?
I'm just saying hello to German Kiwi and Flash Dagger. Nice to see you guys. I'm just see if I'm missing out anyone. I think we are up to date. Otherwise, shout at us. I'm recording directly on the PlayStation, and then I have to extract the files with a USB stick. That takes a while. Then I have to put the USB stick into my computer, and then I can airdrop the videos onto my iPad. I could do the editing on my computer. I'm just using standard Apple software, iMovie.
All right.
But it's just easier to do on the iPad. Because I can do all with my fingers and stuff. I actually tried to merge over to the same application that Doubtinator is using. He's doing, maybe he's still doing it, but until recently, if he isn't still doing it, he's doing everything on his phone. I kind of remember the name of that editing software.
Yeah.
But it had far too many features, and I tried to do a video, and I thought this video, Gran Turismo 8 will be out before I've got this video done, so I gave up. So I'm just using iMovie. It's quite restricted. I'm just trying to get the most out of that software. But it seems to work, and then I can always bring it with me and finish the editing if I and yeah take it to work or on a gig or whatever.
That's very really handy. Good. Yeah. It's quite straightforward. Now we've had an interesting question here from SDSRR87, saying something a bit off topic, but I would like a series behind the chat. It would be nice and funny to have an interview with some of the well-known chatters, in my opinion. And yes, that would be a good one. Yeah,
that's actually, we've got really some household names who just appear in stream chats on various. I would love to see an interview with the Pio, Piotr F, for example.
I'm always open to it. If they want to be interviewed, they're more than welcome. We've got a structure here that we'd be more than happy to do. And you'd be welcome to come alongside as well, Arkies, and control them all.
I remember we did. I think that was the first. I was briefly into an interview with you, which was a spontaneous. Here's the link. Anyone can join, and I was in, and Rue was in as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rue sends his regards.
And it was rather chaotic, but it was good fun. It could be fun to have one of those where we were maybe a handful of people and just have a good chat. That could be fun.
I'm
just watching this chat, see if we're missing anything. Chris thinks I'm speaking better English than many native English language speakers. Appreciate it. And Dead Dave is asking. Sorry, Hugh, I'm just taking over, but
that's fine. That's fine.
Whether if I had more time, if I would use it for Gran Turismo or music or those pesky kids. the pesky kids are sort of mandatory. I don't know, really. Sometimes I really have fun with the music. Mm-hmm. And the music is a nice, it's not like you need a break from playing Gran Turismo, but it's a nice distraction from, sometimes Gran Turismo can get rather annoying. and I need to focus on my music. That's where I earn my money. I need to practice and all that stuff. So there's some craftsmanship I just need to take care of. But when it comes to the inspiration and doing new stuff, that's where actually Gran Turismo 7 comes in, because it's given me a place to put some music, and that's the thing. Sometimes just give myself a clear assignment. I need some music to put on my channel. It's far easier for me to come up with something rather than I need to compose some music, and it has to be artful and big and great and perfect and not too much of all that stuff. It's more like, we need some music, sort of upbeat or sort of relaxed, and it needs to fit some racing cars.
Yeah.
That's much, much easier. Then I can just, let's hit it.
That sounds good, isn't it? I think there's always that, because Gran Turismo has always had good music over the years in its different iterations. And I always think it's a kind of music that you get at Goodwood at the Festival of Speed. When you go into these big marquees, and you know, you've got Aston Martin sitting there, and it sounds like you're in a Bond movie or some kind of, like, you know, it's kind of cool, and it gives a nice kind of vibe to it all. It's interesting that many of the guys who are like yourself, musicians, are so good on these games. But let's go to a slightly different topic just before we get another question from the chat. What are the things that annoy you the most with Gran Turismo 7?
Ooh. What are the things that annoy me the most? At the moment, and now let's just keep the current problems out of it, with the freezing loading screens and the Gran Turismo management being completely silent about it until today, actually. When it comes to everyday racing, I think the thing annoying me the most is that the people are exploiting the existing penalty system. You can, as long as it's a side contact, you can get away with everything. It's only rear-ending someone that triggers the penalty system. So people are getting so... sometimes it's a subtle thing, but people are getting more pushy and more taking more risks because it's basically risk-free. And then a really annoying thing, and I cannot understand why they got rid of that, the small SR up and down arrow, because then you had an indication of what you were doing. And if I was to decide anything, I certainly think the SR system could be more touchy. So people really tried to do as in real life, as it's supposed to be a non-contact sport.
You
cannot just drive into people because you want to steal that apex and run away with it. It would be nice if, we had, if it had some more consequences. And if people could see, oh, so I cannot do that. Ah, I see. And maybe more than just 99 SR points. And it's so easy to get that back up again. It should be a bigger scale and much harder to get it back to maximum. And then we would be rid of the likes of Kimi Velocini and such. Because they can get into the top lobbies far too easy. We've got Ginger in the house as well. Good to see you. It's been a while.
All right, so we've got a huge audience of over 19 watching, which is fantastic. Which is brilliant. So no, that's great.
I think the annoying things are mostly related to the a bit too lenient penalty system. I would actually, and the funny thing is, you can still get a ridiculous 4-second penalty for nothing. That still happens, but most of the time, it lets people get away with too much, and it's an over time. It just affects people's driving style. And we can see with those, I didn't do them myself because I'm a scared old man, but the GTWS series with the heavy damage, people were actually doing a good job and not taking the same crazy chances. And I always want people from the rear so they really get the
that's
point.
A great that's a good one, David. That is a good one. I try not to laugh when I read these comments as they come through, but trying to keep a straight face is something more difficult when there's some great comments coming through. But no, that is the thing, because it was an interesting move to for example, for Race A, which is what you do most weeks, to take out the DR and SR updates. Because it does mean that people maybe think, oh, well, I can just go for it and it's not going to make any difference. But I find that if you get a good qualifying time and you can get up to the front or near the front, then it's usually a little bit better. And you can have some big races. And especially this week with the new Honda Civics. How have you found that one? I've actually quite enjoyed that race. I've had a few victories on that. I've had 3 or 4 victories, which I've not had in a while.
On which one, sorry?
The Race A this week at the Honda Civic, the new Civic.
I only did it this Monday morning. I have only done the races for everyone to see in the video. I've been busy with some work at the music school I'm working at. But it's a fun race. I would like to do some more of that if possible.
Because I know we both watched the Tijani videos on a Monday. I think everybody does. They're fantastic videos on the weekly race guide. And he's always right, because this is one where you definitely need traction control on one when you're a good start. it's good fun. How do you, because obviously do you watch a lot of other videos as well as Tijani's, or do you have a kind of few that you watch first thing on a Monday? Well, actually, well, you play with you drive with Tijani. You're normally in his races quite often.
I was in his race the other day. I'm jumping on. Hang on for a second. I'm just looking because if Race A gets SR updates, will you come back? I'm actually already back, and it has got SR updates this week. Race A this week has SR updates. Just to point that one out. and the electric TSL in the house. I'm jumping on as soon as the races open. So I'm usually doing the first three races. It used to be the first two races, but it's when I do three races, I can still make a decent length of a video without it getting just a plain boring laps with me driving around by myself. Sometimes a race can get a bit quiet. And then Chicken Angel, my usual race A companion on those Mondays, he said that the Titsny is usually in on a race four. And sometimes I do the fourth race, but I also want to get the video out before we are getting too far into the afternoon. Monday is my day off, by the way. That fits perfect into my Gran Turismo schedule. But I still want to get the video out before it gets too late. So sometimes I do the fourth race, and the race we had this Monday, I had some really nice side-by-side action in that one. So I just thought, I'll leave that one for Titsny to put in his race guide. I would like to see that race just from his perspective. So I left that one out.
He always calls you out. He always calls you out when you're in there, when he goes through the grid.
It's really, really nice of him to do that.
It is fantastic. Do you ever feel like the first time you were in a race with Tijni and a lot of these other TCR drivers, was it a bit nerve-wracking the first time?
Yeah, definitely. I have also met Tijni in race C a couple of times, and I think I like maybe three those Beat the Meta videos where I saw Titsny coming, and he didn't do anything. He didn't try to go for a move, and I instantly made a huge mistake and went all sideways on the curb. And two times him saying, "Wow, how did he really save that one?" but really made myself look like a complete idiot. So that's when Key is coming up, I've met him in races several times, and he's racing clean, but he's also, if he can go for a pass, he goes for a pass and can be quite intimidating. Yeah. Not that he's doing anything wrong, but he can be a bit scary coming up from behind. I remember doing a race on, I think it was Bathurst, a race C, and he was in the AMG, and you can hear that car from a mile away, deep thunder.
Great
and noise. It was the race that started at night transition into day, and he caught me on those first laps. So I just had those headlights behind me and that deep rumble, and I knew it was Key on his American account. He didn't give a damn about, so I was just almost jumping out the way at some point.
It's quite good fun. I remember when Super GT used to stream, and then he must have had a private or a public lobby, and I've been waiting for ages to try and if somebody would drop out, so I could try and get in. You know, you keep trying to get into the lobby, and eventually somebody dropped out and I got in. And then, of course, it was his last race, or something happened, or the whole server went down. But in the meantime, we had a few qualifying laps, and I managed to stay out of his way. And then he came around here, and he deliberately punted me off because I had interviewed him. So I couldn't get in the race, and the machine went down or something, and I couldn't race him. I hope that Steve comes back and does a few more public lobbies, because they are funny. He's good at streaming as well. The guys are great. Well, we've been going for 53 minutes, and we've got over 20 people watching. It's fantastic. I hope we're not keeping you too much, Arkis, from all your music.
All is good. All is good. All no stress. I can see Dead Daving is reposting a question, and can you score an entire race with changing rhythm for angry or triumphant moments? I probably could. It would probably take a long time to do it, but it would be doable, I think.
That would be a good challenge, isn't it? That would be one to kind of to the tempo and the ferocity and the whole thing.
Full anger mode from lab one.
I know. that's the thing.
The chat is going off here. I'll see if I'm missing anything. Hey, Neil as well. I'm just winding back a bit, see if we are missing. I think we are sort of up to date. Otherwise, you have to shout to us once again.
Yes. Someone says, Key has no hair, but high skills. Yeah, well, I can maybe I can compete with that. No, the first part.
I've still got my hair. My forehead is getting bigger and bigger, but I still got my hair.
And then Dave said, maybe just a highlights video to keep it short.
Could do that.
No, that's the thing. I was going to say, have you seen the new Gran Turismo movie? I'm wondering what the music will be like in that.
No, I haven't seen it yet. I think I am sort of... I might wait until it comes out on some sort of a streaming platform.
I've got it pre-ordered on Amazon. It's coming out on the 24th of October. I wasn't able to see it at the cinema, but it's only a tenner on Amazon UK at the moment. So pre-order it, which isn't too bad. But I know that's the thing. And now there was a question here. Damo says, I edited a Dirty Sambas race to the Ride of the Valkyries, and that worked okay.
I have used Ride of the Valkyrie as well. I actually think I used it when we had that Valkyrie. What's the brand?
Yeah, you used that.
Martin Valkyrie.
You used that.
Yeah, I used it on Repo when we had.
You're very good at getting the music clips. I don't know where to find the music clips, but you've got to get a really good sound quality of it.
I can tell you what I'm doing. And it's so low key. I'm just using still on this one, on this thingy. I'm just using that screen record function. So right. I just go onto YouTube, find the clip with the sound effect, and you can find all the fart sound effects you need in your life on YouTube. And then I just press that screen record, because then you can, in the iMovie thing, you can extract only the sound. So you only get the sound bit from it. So that's the way.
Because your sound quality is really good. I've used screen recorders before, but they don't always get the best sound when you're doing it from a video. So now that sounds like the iMovie must be a better version to use. I've got it on my phone, but I just don't have it on an actual iMac or something like that to be able to make it work.
I've got it on my older MacBook here, but it's just easier for me to do on the iPad.
That's pretty good though, isn't it? So the screen record on iMovie. I'll have to try that and see if I can get some music from that.
Aaron wants me to say, I need your clothes. I cannot say that word. Your boots and your motorcycle. I can hear that. I can hear the Austrian thing about it when I say motorcycle. But it's... Yeah.
Can you see? Get to the chopper.
Yeah, get to the chopper.
That was very convincing. That was.
I can scream like Arnold as well. Yeah.
You need to put one of those on your videos then. That'll be the next one. You know.
Yeah. We need to hurry.
You know, that was the thing. Actually, I've got a bone to pick with Darren Turner because he was on my stream on Monday. And I asked the chat, what race should I do next? Should I do race A, B, or C? And then I was doing quite well on race A. And then Darren said, go on to race C. And I had about three abysmal races.
No.
I wish the servers hadn't actually worked, but they actually did work, no problem.
Yeah,
and I burned through tires and got no speed whatsoever on this race C.
But of course, you. For breaking my driving skills. You broke my driving skills on the recent update.
It was something. But how do you find, because on some of these new races that they've had, they've now got like suspension changes, like the Le Mans one they had last week, which was quite, it made a huge difference if you then put the suspension changes. Are you quite keen on that?
I don't know enough about adjusting settings like that. So I would probably just copy what someone else did. And I think I sort of avoided it. I cannot remember. When did they? It's a couple of weeks ago. They started with just where you could just adjust the spring ratios and stuff like that. And I never got to do the Le Mans race because I was too scared to do it, and instantly that week it started to go down. When I got to, maybe I should try that race, that was after the update and then the servers were broken, and that was a perfect excuse for me, right? I'm not going to do that one then. That week actually I did a lot of race B. I never did a video on it, but I did on the what's that?
Yagawima.
Also the Yamagiva.
Yeah.
That track, that was great fun, and it was group three as well. And I need every bit of practice in group three cars I can get. So I had fun with that one. I did get a decent qualifying time in as well, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you did. Hasta la vista, Apex.
Yeah, we've all done that one, haven't we? No, that's that is a good one. Yeah, I tried the settings because I just copied it from somebody else, one of the other streamers, on a Le Mans car, and I couldn't believe I was like 2 seconds quicker.
Wow!
And there was more time in it. The one thing that really frustrated me was that when you're trying to do qualifying for that race, is that you never get a clean lap in terms of it would always start raining at the end.
Yeah.
If you maybe sat in there for an hour, it might change. And then you would get a dry lap.
Maybe back out completely and try to come in again. Then you can get some different weather, because restarting it just repeats the same weather it has chosen to give you. I remember I tried to set a lap time. I did set a really poor lap time, and it was the same thing. I tried to jump in, and it was just pissing down. Wait a minute, I'm not doing this. Then I tried to back out completely and go back in, and then I got a bit of clean, clear, dry weather.
Yeah.
No, still that was set a poor qualifying time, but I didn't really try that much. I'm struggling with that one, especially the Porsche curves. I always run wide coming out of the final corner.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because you're going to kind of turn right and then kind of back off a little bit to try and take
the you really curve. Have to time it, and you have to remember to, coming out of the final right-hander, to stay to the right-hand side, because if you're coming in too narrow to the final left-hander, then you are bound to go way off wide, unless you come to almost a complete stop. And that's not going to... How weird is VR with controller? It felt weirdly natural, actually. And I think it's because I'm using a controller. That's the only thing I'm used to. So that already feels like second nature to do that. And then I was just suddenly getting tons of other inputs from the VR. You can certainly see, it's downhill that corner. That's why I always run wide there. Oh, I can see there's some nice camber on the inside, so I need to go that way instead. All sorts of stuff suddenly made sense. And the device for driving the car just felt the same. So it doesn't feel weird sitting there and you've got some hands in front of you turning a steering wheel, and I'm still with a controller. My brain gets tricked into believing that it's me driving still, even though I'm sitting with a controller.
I mean, the VR is, though, pretty convincing, isn't it? It's quite... I've not tried the new one yet, but it looks pretty good when I've seen other people use it, and yourself included, because you've done better qualifying times in the number of your time trials.
Yeah, a lot of those road car time trial challenges, the VR has been a big... really benefited from the VR, especially the Bathurst one with that nightmare of a car. What was that one? That was the Maserati.
The braking on that was horrendous.
I couldn't get that car around. That was the only, by the way, one of the few times where I almost by accident did a sort of clickbaity title, because I think the title was, I didn't expect this to be the solution. And that video got like over 3,000 views compared to the normal between 250 and maybe 800, something like that. Always a three-figure view numbers.
That's pretty good, though. That's a great one.
But I was genuinely surprised when I jumped into the VR. Suddenly, I could get that car around, and I could manage the wheel spin, and I could see why I shouldn't come onto the power as hard as I tried in flat screen, and that made sense. But in some of the race cars, the cockpit view is just too tight and windows too small, and then I'm still faster in flat screen. So it all depends on the car.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say, and because and we're kind of start to wind this up a wee bit for you, because I know you're an hour ahead of us, I think, in where you are. So it'll be after 10. I was going to say, what would you like to do in the next year? Now that you've reached well over 1,000, nearly 1,300 or more subscribers, what would you like to do? What would be your kind of aims for the next year or so on YouTube and for your gaming?
Will Denmark win the World Binning Championship? Always. Denmark always win the World Binning Championship. Oh, no, we always win the Scandinavian. I don't know about the World Binning Championship. I need to think about that one. What will I do for the next? Yeah, but that's the thing. The whole thing about first getting above the 1,000 subscribers and then getting enough watch time hours to get the channel monetized. To be honest, it's not important to me in that way.
It was
a fun challenge, and now I've got it monetized. I've also got a couple of handfuls of channel members, which I highly appreciate. Mm-hmm.
Aims for the next step, what you would like.
Yeah, the next step, that was the thing. I feel rather relaxed about it now. My next step, I think my next step will always be from now on to just keep doing the videos I want to. I can see the way other content creators are hunting that, trying to be the first to announce the new races, first to announce something. That would stress me out completely. I try to be out as early as possible on Mondays with that Race A video, because that has become a tradition. And also when it's possible for me with those first impression videos of the new time trials, because I can see if I get them out early, sometimes it just takes longer for me to do the video. If I get out early, they certainly get a head start. If I get out, and Titsny, he can do that. He almost, when I'm still extracting files from my PlayStation, then Titsny has his video out. He's so fast at doing that. But if it gets too far into the afternoon, and then I come with my very sloppy first impressions compared to a couple of aliens if Digit and Key and Titsny got their very fast times out, and then I'm coming out with a video with a time that's a second to a second and a half slower, and here I'm trying to break at that big tree there and make sure, oh no, I almost spun out, then I can see the video just goes down the drain immediately. But I still think it's fun to do them, and I still and also just showing the shaky start of it, I always show the entirety of the very first lap, so they can see how horrible the driving sometimes is.
And so people like it because it's your take on it. It's your character, and it's the way that you deal with it. And also because everyone, not everybody is like these alien drivers that can come out with these laps that are within half a second of the top times. So it's actually really, it's kind of more honest. And it's for us, it's good to see, because we think, we probably learn a bit more, because then we can get, we know how to get to the level, or we see where you are. And for many of us, where you are is very, very high. You're at a very good level. A+ is a great level. And you're getting really good times. So we think, it's also more attainable. In terms, we feel that it's an easier way to kind of learn, because it's you've been there before us, and you've got a good way of explaining, just because it's a natural way of, say, exactly that tree that you break at, or that wee bit of that is, because it's kind of easier for us to relate to that than sometimes aliens that do these, they're so exact with their kind of markers and so on, so it's ahead of us,
And often they often know what to watch out for, all those subtle details that they just, that's maybe just second nature to them, that they know at this corner you have to, because there's a bump halfway, and they just let go of the throttle that split second, and then all is good. And someone like me will hit that exact bump and get completely pushed offline and have to try to recover everything. I think it's, and also just doing the observations along the way, figuring out, wait a minute, this is the wrong gear. I see now. And I think, and that's the thing with learning basically everything. And I think it's the same thing with the music, especially when you're trying to learn new things in music where you have to take it in by yourself.
Having
someone to tell you Frank Sinatra is the greatest crooner in the world and blah blah blah, and you just have to check him out and listen to him, and maybe sometimes you but when you get to discover it yourself, and then suddenly now I see what's going on. That was the thing with that. I did a video about mid corner management. I think I gave it a fancy title like that. And it's and I'm sure it's on page one in the Alien Race Driver handbook. but that thing, but just keep it cool when we've got a long corner, because it picking out a braking marker, I need to brake there, and now the corner is over. Now I can get on the power. But that entire bit in the middle, with just keeping the momentum, keeping the car at the right angle, not going too slow, still maintaining some speed, and keep the car rotating either by lifting off or giving it a bit more throttle to make the back end step out, and all that stuff. And that Catalonia track is a great one for that, because there are so many very, very long corners where you really have to, once you get the car slowed down, just have to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and then you can go.
That's like turn three at Barcelona, isn't it? And you come across and you got to back off and then wait for that orange board.
You have to wait for the orange barrier in the middle of your eyesight, and then you can start to get back on the power. Yeah, exactly.
It works over time. But perhaps one of our last questions can be, now I just saw it there, the comments are coming thick and fast, from SDS. When can we expect another live stream from you, Arkies?
Yeah, SDS, your guess is as good as mine. I am just waiting for getting a chance to do it. And some of you already know, it has been a bit of crazy times at my house with and it's not even supposed to be on YouTube, but my wife has been sick from stress for a while, so she has been home a lot, and that doesn't go well with me sitting in the living room screaming at a TV screen. So I've just had a big solid break from streaming for a while, and that's, I cannot make a schedule for it, but as soon, but we are sometimes, when we are both working all the work we and when she's back to working full time, then we have different time slots where we are working and at home, and that will free up some mornings again. And that's usually when I jump on, and sometimes on a rare Saturday night when I'm not playing a gig myself and my entire family are out of the house, then I can jump on. But Dead Dave was answering that. Yeah, we will probably end up in 2024, but unless something happens, if you just remember that if there is an opportunity, I am instantly jumping on. It's not because I don't want to. I'm just waiting for my chance to jump on, and then I will jump on stone cold, unprepared, into doing some races.
No, it's always good fun. It's when you do that, and we wish your wife a speedy recovery and full restoration of her health, because no one wants to have any health issues, especially in this day and age, and how difficult that can be. So it's our best wishes to be passed on to her, certainly. It's been absolutely fantastic, Arkies, to have you with us tonight, and I hope you can come back again very soon. I'd love to do this a bit more regularly with you, especially as the controversies of GT Sport, no doubt, will come and go, as they're now finally acknowledged the problems that they've had with service after a week or more. It's been absolutely fantastic to have you on the show and to see all your followers there, that have a chance to ask questions. and see how things go, and along with some great Ryanair jokes from Henry as well.
And sorry if we missed any questions along the way. We did our best to keep up. My wife hasn't played Gran Turismo. Nope, I'm not going to get her to it. My son has been playing it a bit. He's actually a very good go-kart driver, I found out. He's also very good at binning it, but I saw him catching, we were racing go-karts outside, outdoor go-kart facility, and he was, and it was in the wet. I saw him catch some slides along the way, and those snappy 12-year-old reactions, counter-steer, and just...
Yeah, that's pretty good, though.
Wow! And he's not into cars at all.
Yeah.
I think we got it all covered. Otherwise, we will have to do it again. And then we can catch up on the questions we didn't.
That we didn't get. That was fantastic. Well, stay on the line before I close the show tonight.
Yes,
but to everyone who's been watching, it's been great to have you with us. Thank you so much for supporting the channel. It wouldn't be the same without Arkie's here. He's done a huge amount, for GT7. I think you've got a real community there that has come about. And we all look forward to your videos every week. We enjoy watching, whether it be the time trial.
Thank you.
And then the races as well. They're entertaining, they're informative, and it wouldn't be the same without them. You do a great job at what you do. Thank you to everyone who's been asking questions and for supporting us tonight by watching, and who'll be watching or listening on the podcast in a few hours' time. But take care, everyone. And my new saying, of course, just for tonight is drive fast, but drive your Citroën even faster. Take care. Bye just now.
Bye-bye, everyone.